Good morning, everyone. Here we are, July the 11th, 2019. It's a Thursday morning. Hope you're having a good week. Here we are at church camp. We're going to have a guest today. Brother Todd Bryant's going to do your morning devotion for you. Here you go, Brother Todd.
What's going on, folks? Here at Camp Caleb, really enjoying the week. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about the rich man and Lazarus. I just preached through this passage recently. I thought it'd be a good place to go. One of the points that Jesus is making in this chapter, early on in the chapter, before he ever gets to this parable or story, whichever position you might take on that, is he says no man can serve two masters. You know, he's either going to hate one or he's going to hold to the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. And he's addressing the Pharisees here, and they're really frustrated with him when he begins to say these things. In fact, verse 14 says, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, who were lovers of money, in other words, heard all these things, and they derided him. They ridiculed Jesus. They made fun of him. They didn't believe the things that he was saying." And that section where Jesus is dealing with them actually leads into this section on the rich man and Lazarus. Now, most of you are probably familiar with this story. There's a rich man who, as it says here in God's Word, fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in the best of the best clothes. In our day and age, he'd be wearing Versace. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He's feasting all the time. You know, a feast is one thing ever so often. Most of us just had a nice feast on the 4th of July, and that's great occasionally, but if you're feasting like that every day, it's not really a feast. It's just a meal. And that's how he was living. He had the world by the tail. And then there was this other guy named Lazarus, and he's a polar opposite of the rich man. He's laying at the rich man's gate. And not to get technical here, but the word here translated gate speaks of a gate that enters into a large palace. So this is not a gate that you'd let horses or cattle into. This is the palace that this rich man lived in. And Lazarus, if you'll notice specifically, it says he was laid at the gate. So he apparently had some physical problem where he had to be laid there. And he just wanted to be fed with a rich man's crumbs. You know, back in this day and age, they ate like we eat down in Alabama. They ate with your hands. And to clean up, they'd take bread and they'd rub their hands on the bread and they'd throw it under the table and the dogs would eat it. And that's what Lazarus was wanting to eat. He's just the polar opposite of this man in this life. But once you get to verse 22, it says, "It came to pass, the beggar died." Well, that's not a real shock. I mean, everything that's been said about him in this passage, anybody that's listened to this story expected the beggar to die. You're almost surprised he hadn't already died, to be honest with you. Here's the interesting thing, though. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was carried to where Abraham is. He had, as far as the way that the Pharisees looked at it, he was cursed by God on this earth. But that's not actuality. He was really blessed. Even though he's a beggar in this life, he woke up in paradise in the next one. And then the rich man dies in this story. And just like they were polar opposites in this life, well, they're polar opposites in the next too, because it says in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. He saw Lazarus standing beside Abraham. So, you know, he's been in charge his entire life. He's been worried about himself his entire life. He cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to me. Let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." It's almost like he's still looking at Lazarus as a servant here. But that's not the way that it's going to turn out. You know the end of the story. He says here that Lazarus, or here's what Abraham says, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented." And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So even if Abraham wanted to help him, even if he wanted to send Lazarus to him, he couldn't, because there's this great chasm in between them. There's this great gulf that they can't pass. So the rich man has another request from Abraham. He says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they should come into this place of torment. Now this is interesting, because we've got a man that has died and is in hell, and now he's worried about the souls of his relatives. That's not something that we often think about. But when a lost person dies and they wake up in hell, they begin to not want their loved ones to come there. There are billions of people in hell right now, and none of them want their family members to come to hell. If they could come back, they'd tell you, if you're lost, to repent and to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ to escape this place. But Abraham's got an interesting response. He doesn't say, okay, I'll send Lazarus back. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, Moses and the prophets testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. They testify of the gospel. Jesus is all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. There's enough gospel in the Old Testament in order for people to be saved. In fact, Jesus preached the Old Testament. Paul preached the Old Testament. Peter preached the Old Testament. But the rich man doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe that's enough. He wants a miracle for his family members. He says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now, it's interesting that he brings up the word repentance, or repent, because nobody's mentioned it so far. He already knew about repentance. Where do you think he learned that from? He learned it from Moses and the prophets. That's where he learned it from. And he knew that he never did it. And that's why he ended up in torment. But Abraham is not going to send anyone back in a resurrected state. He said, "If Abraham says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." This is the point that Jesus is working up to in this story of Lazarus and the rich man. He's been talking to the Pharisees about how the law is going to be fulfilled, the prophets are going to be fulfilled. Other places, he talks about how he is the message of the law and the prophets. And now in this story, he is explaining through Abraham and the rich man that God's word is not only enough to save, it's not even equal to a miracle, it's better than a miracle. Folks, God's word has everything for us that we need, and we need to be into it every day. As children of God, we need to be well acquainted with God's word. And not only that, though, as churches, we should be satisfied with God's Word being the final authority in everything that we do. In all of our faith and practice, God's Word takes the forefront in our services. We should expect our Sunday school teachers to preach God's Word. We should expect our pastors to preach God's Word. We should expect anyone that does anything in the church to do what is based on God's Word. It is sufficient. And that is the primary point that Jesus works into here in the rich man and Lazarus. Look, I hope that you're not just thinking one day, I'll not be like the rich man. No. You may leave this life today. Lazarus knew Jesus as his Savior, and he woke up in paradise. My hope and prayer for you is that you too know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, this is Todd Bryant signing off from Camp Caleb. Y'all have a great day.
Hey, until tomorrow, Pastor Mark signing off.